Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Hallelujah. I think this year is a year of praise. I've heard a lot of messages on praise. Amen. God's good to us. I feel like I forgot something. Did I forget anything? I hope not. Hallelujah. If so, the Lord will help me. Well, why don't you go ahead and open to 1 Peter 5, please, this morning. We're going to start a new series. Man, God's good to us. You say, you keep saying that. It's just so true. You know, if you get it, it's interesting because sometimes, and we're faith people, because you know it's impossible to please God without faith. Did you know that? It's not hard, it's impossible. So we got to watch ourselves. But we're establishing some faith things in this area. This is our call. Other people or churches are called to different things. We're called to establish faith. And you know the vision of the church is eventually we'll be planting other churches around the area and continuing to spread the word of faith. We were over in Tulsa. Caleb, will you put that picture up that I had you dig out for me? I want to show this to you. This is the Rhema Bible Church Auditorium. You see all those flags? That's every place a Rhema Bible college or church is established around that. Now, this is interesting to me. I'm ordained through Rhema. I don't know if some of you saw that we had hands laid on us on Facebook. If you saw the post I posted, I've actually been ordained for 6 or 7 years. But it was the first time we were able to get back to the home church and the grounds there in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, to have Pastor Hagen, who's the head of the whole Rhema family as far as the ministry goes. He is to get him to lay hands on us, to have him lay hands. I don't know, the scripture says, talks about Paul and those being sent out, and the elders of the church came together and laid hands on them and sent them out. So that's where that comes out of. But this was what they call a flag day at Rhema during Winter Bible Seminar, during the evening service. And they just showed, they had the flags of every place where there was school. There are 250 campuses around the world for Rhema. And there are 13 more right now in the works that are going to be. Remember when the Spears were here? Do you remember that? They're one of them that's in the works. So they're going to start establishing Rhema Bible Training Center in Poland. Okay. What people don't realize is sometimes, so this church is affiliated, of course, with Rhema. I'm a Rhema church because I'm a Rhema grad. We have our own 501c3, but I know this is general information, but it'll be good for you. But we are under Rhema. So I am under Rhema as far as their spiritual, head over us. How many know you need fathers and mothers in the faith? Okay. And you're not going to find, Pastor Hagen's about to turn 80. So he's had a little bit of ministry experience. Just a little, raised in a minister's home. Come on. He's got a lot of experience. So you need that experience. And plus there's other, you know, ministers and stuff that speak into our lives. But there, during this service, and then in some of the luncheons that we went to, there are 81,000 graduates of Rhema around the world. 81,000. That's a little. We sow into that ministry every month out of this church. Why? 81,000 graduates. That's from Bible college. That doesn't even include the churches that have touched people and the ministries, okay? And we heard many good testimonies from around the world. I mean, God is just, there was a huge group from Brazil there. You want to talk about some lively people. Us Americans could learn a thing or two from them. I mean, they rejoice at the drop of a hat, man, I'll tell you what. And God's doing a major work in Rhema, Brazil. And they have, there were multiple speakers, I think two or three from there. And they have campuses across, it's exploding what God's doing in those areas, around the world. And God's doing many great things. And out of Rhema, it's interesting because the Brazilians, they're really praying and believing God for Venezuela. Come on. See, we have to multiply. You can't, in the church pews here, or seats, I guess as it is, but in the church pews, to say it that way, you can't just, we are not, this church will not train people to just come and sit. You're light everywhere you go. Now you should come and sit because you need to get fed. And you need that. But it's not the pastor's job to do all the ministering for the people in your world. You have, how many go like this? How many got a hand or two? Oh, good. Praise the Lord. A lot of hands out there. Don't need to pray for anybody for another hand. You've got two hands. You can lay hands and pray for people where you're at. And I know many of you are doing it, and we're so grateful for that because you're taking the kingdom of God with you, which is what's supposed to happen. But anyway, I'll just say that. We were in the balcony, and there were about 1,200 people just in the balcony. So this is not showing everybody. I suppose there is about 5,000 or 6,000 people there total. I don't know the exact number. But God's really doing a work, and he's spreading out. It's interesting, as they were showing the map of in some of the luncheons that we're in of where Rhema ministries have been established. And there are many other good ones around the world. Amen. We're not doubting or dogging anybody else. Amen. We're just, this is the hip we're connected to. Okay. And so it's where God connected me, and I don't try and be multiple body parts. I just try and be the one. Amen. That I'm called to be. And, but anyway, it was interesting looking at the map. Do you know what they have surrounded on the map? If you look at the map, they have the 1040 window surrounded. And I'll just tell you this. There are Rhema graduates right now that are missionaries to the 1040 window. People say, what's the 1040 window? It's dominated by Muslims, Buddhists. The population of Christians there is nil, if almost nothing. And you look at the map, and there's Rhema stuff all the way around it. In other words, we got the enemy surrounded. And people are praying and believing God. We met, I'm just sharing with you from my heart here a little bit. This is just family day. There's the faith, family, and then the church. This is the family portion. we sat in an RMAI luncheon and met missionaries from Iraq. They're in the middle of Iraq. They're married with a family. They have six kids. In Iraq. And they're sharing all this stuff, you know, about what's going on over there. And then they, you know, different challenges and things they're believing God for and stuff. And they, the wife looks at us and says, what's going on in your area, you know? And what do we, I said, we have no problems. We have no problems compared to you. I mean, she just got done sharing how they have to look on the news to see if they're going to be bombed. Hello. Somebody say, I don't have any problems. Okay. I mean, I know everybody's graced to be where they're at, but praise God for people that'll go to the middle of Iraq, come on and preach the gospel in Muslim-dominant areas. Hello. With six kids? That's faith. I know it has to be a call. I'm not telling you all to go to Iraq, okay? So you're called to where you're called to be, and I'm called to be here too. But praise God for people like that. It gives you perspective. And they are, I asked them, I said, how is it true about the testimonies about dreams? They said, people come to our church, Muslims come to their church where Jesus has appeared to them in a dream over and over and over. And God's doing a work over there, amen? Don't believe the news, they're lying. I'm not joking. They're lying. They're spinning everything which way they want it to go. I mean, I don't care. Even if it's, you even have to watch Fox News and all the ones you think you like. Amen. You need to know the Holy Ghost news because it's happening. God is moving, and we will see a massive move of God, and there will be a massive harvest before this is all said and done all over the world. Despite in the devil's face, amen, he has no chance. The gates of hell, Jesus, the head of the church, said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, and it shall not. We had another, listen to another gentleman that was at our table from India, has four kids. They live in India. Takes him 48 hours to get to the States, to get to Tulsa. 48 on an airplane, flying that long. Hallelujah. He's committed, amen? He's preaching 30 hours a week in Bible schools and churches and in India. Praise the Lord. Faithful to the Lord, amen? We listened to another missionary from Africa, right in the middle of a major Muslim area, and he's getting witch doctors born again. How many know when a witch doctor is about to die and the minister, the man of God comes in, or the child of God comes in and ministers to the witch doctor, and they're healed and raised up from a deathbed, they throw away all their witch doctor stuff. And then this gentleman was kind of a head that he ended up leading to the Lord, was kind of a head of some witch doctors, and some other witch doctors came to visit him because that's where they were trained and some things that they were doing. And of course, he just got healed and saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And they came in and were asking him questions. And he said, you need to talk to this guy, to the missionary. He'll tell you about Jesus. And then those witch doctors got born again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. People say, we don't got witch doctors around here. We got plenty to do around here. The more perverted it gets sexually around here and different things like that, the more we're going to see manifestation of demons. I'll just tell you that. Because demons love that stuff. Because they're perverted. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. So we're going to see, and we saw, it was awesome to see and to be a part of it and just, see what God's doing around the world and how he's affecting so many nations, and God's word is increasing all over the world and in Billings, Montana. Amen. And we're going to continue to increase. So you probably found 1 Peter 5 by now. Hopefully, if you haven't, maybe ask your neighbor, help you out. I want to talk about this morning. I just want to open this service or this series up this morning. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. Living worry-free. If you want to switch that out, Caleb, to the break free slide that you have. I want to talk about living worry free and breaking free. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. In the New King James, it says this. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How many know that sounds good? And notice there's one that comes before the other. Praise the Lord. Amen. I used to think, Lord, I'm ready to go all over the world. And he's like, I'm going to humble you first, boy. And he has. Okay. More and more we should progressively be getting more and more humble. People say, well, I don't deal with a lot of pride. That's cute. That's cute. Now, everybody, check yourself. Go like this. Do you feel that? That's flesh. You got issues. Okay. You got to shift. This is the nature of it right there. If you got the meat suit on, the flesh suit on, you got issues, because your flesh has a nature that is contrary to the Holy Spirit's nature. Amen. And so you got pride you got to deal with. And so he says this in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now we're going to talk about, and we're going to dig into this as we get going here in this series, but we're going to see here from the scripture that we can live totally carefree. Somebody say, no worries at all. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted to be worried. And we're going to do some house cleaning through this series. How many know sometimes people have strongholds in their mind that have been established for years because their mom was afraid of something, and they pass that fear on to their kid, and then their mom, and they pass it on to their kid. Come on. People say, well, generational curses, and then they've been passed down from generation. We can't do anything about it. You're wrong. You can do something about it. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't let the enemy run your life and your mind. It's your mind. Somebody say, it's my mind, my territory. We just need to remove strongholds in our lives, and that takes time sometimes, but we allow the Word of God to transform the way we think, and we're picking up those stones from the stronghold and throwing them out, and then we're establishing a scripture stone, and we're building up fortresses that are built from Jesus. Amen? But sometimes, I've noticed this through the years, not only in my own life, just in other ways as well, sometimes there can be some severe strongholds that have been built in people's minds. And in the church, especially in Word of Faith, Charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever you want to say, those who are not cessationists, they don't believe that God died when the disciples died or the apostles died. They believe he's still who he says he is. I've noticed this, that sometimes we can try and get, because of our desperation to get free, we'll look to something easier, like maybe this person can lay hands on me and make everything change in my mind. But we have no scripture for that. Amen. Now you can be delivered. There is deliverance. There's no question about it. There is deliverance, and God can do things in your life that will set you free. I've had Him do things in my life instantaneously. And then other things He's saying, Sean, get in the Word. You need to get in the Word. Just get in the Word. Get in the Word. Feed on the Word. And then develop different, well, basically what you're doing is you're becoming obedient in thought, word, and action to this. And as you do that, it develops or builds new strongholds, for lack of a better term, in your mind that are built out of the structure of the Word of God. So if you have trouble sleeping at night, you need to see the scriptures that talk about when I lie down, I will not be afraid. My sleep shall be sweet. You know, I guess I'll share this with you. I don't always do this, but I will. Praise God, you know me well enough by now. When I was first saved, a lot of times, I mean, I would have some very spectacular things happen to me when I was first saved because I needed a lot of help. I didn't really know how to study the Word and stuff like that. And so the Lord had actually, I don't know if it was an angel or if it was the Lord that visited me because I did not have my eyes open, okay? But one night I went to bed and I heard, I had gotten hold of some Jesse Duplantis stuff from my in-laws, and I heard him say one time that before he'd go to bed, he'd read a scripture. He said, because I want to put something in my mind so the devil doesn't put anything in it. And so he would do it. I thought, well, sure. I mean, that guy's probably right. You know, he's a preacher. And I was real young in the Lord. And so I'd read the scripture before I went to bed. And I read the scripture, and I was, my bed was like a queen-size bed, and it was on the floor. It was just the box spring and then the mattress on top. And then in my room, I had this old blue, Mom, you remember that blue table we had that from the kids? Yeah. And anyway, so I had this old blue table that was my nightstand because, you know, I'm single and I really didn't care what my bedroom looked like. And so I had this nightstand there, and then I'm in the basement of our house, of my parents' house, and I read a scripture that night, and I'm going to work the next morning, and I put my Bible, I got done, I was leaning against the wall, and I had my Bible propped up like this, you know, and I'm reading in bed, and I got done, so I closed my Bible, and I put it on the nightstand right next to me, and then I just went to sleep, and all at like 2-3 in the morning, I'm dreaming. How many of you ever had a dream from God before? I mean, legitimate dream from God. I'm dreaming that I'm driving a car. I'm in a car, and I distinctly remember this. I distinctly remember driving, but I could, how many of you ever been in a service? It's like the glory of God just keeps increasing, and it's like you start to, I mean, you can feel God in the room. You're not living by faith at that moment. You're like, if we move, you run into God here, okay? And in my, I'm dreaming, but you know how you're kind of going in and out? You're aware of what's going on? And as I'm dreaming, I'm driving this car down the road, and I distinctly remember it's a stick shift. But as I'm driving on this road, I mean, it is getting brighter and brighter and brighter in my dream. I mean, to where I honestly thought to myself, I think I'm driving into heaven. It was just getting so bright. And I'm like, how many of you have ever been asleep and somebody turns the light on in your room? I do this to my son. You turn the light on in the room, and you're still completely conked out, but that light starts to penetrate through your eyelids, and you start to kind of wake up, and you can feel, you know what I mean? It's getting through to you, amen? That's what it felt like. Only it was tangible. Not just like light, but I could feel this presence just getting closer and closer and closer. And I'm getting closer and closer to this light, and then all of a sudden, I wake up, boom! And my room is pitch black. I'm like, that's weird. I didn't sit up or anything. I just opened my eyes. But I'm like, I can feel God. You know what I mean? I can feel the presence of God is just all over me. From my head to toe. And I'm just kind of sitting there going, whoa. You know, what do you do in that moment? You know? And I'm going, glory to God. Man. And I don't know why I said this because I didn't know anything about Kenneth E. Hagin at the time. But I thought, Lord, if that was you, give me no, I woke up and the Lord inside my spirit, I kept hearing Proverbs 3:24. I thought, what does that mean? You know? So I leaned over to turn my light on my nightstand. And when I did, my chin hit my Bible. It was right next to me on the pillow. So I don't know if the Lord walked in or an angel walked in, but he took my Bible off the nightstand and laid it right on the pillow next to me. And that's what woke me up, because of the light that was there. Come on. And he put it there. Let's go to Proverbs. I don't normally, I have a few stories like this, but I don't always share them because I always like to wait until the Lord says, amen. Because I don't want to bring, you don't want to bring glory to yourself. Proverbs 3:24. What does that say in your Bible? When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Amen. So the Lord ministered that scripture to me. I sleep well. Amen? I sleep well. But if I let worry get in, if I let fear get in my mind, how many know you struggle to sleep? But see, the Lord is your protection. You can sleep. You say, well, you don't know what I was in before I got saved. It probably was, maybe it was worse than what I was in. I don't know. But I was telling my daughter the other day, I was driving her to school and I was sharing with her some of the stuff that went on for me in high school, because she was sharing something with me that had gone on in their high school and in her school. And I was sharing with her how there was a time in high school where I got surrounded outside of West High by a group from Skyview, you know, because, you know, Skyview has to beat up West High. I don't know. I don't understand what the... Anyway, being accused of stuff. And I'm surrounded by four or five guys who are all going to eat my lunch. Amen? I mean, I got myself in a lot of trouble. But after I got saved, what kind of trouble can there be that God can't deliver me from? Amen. I don't have to look over my shoulder. Why? I got an angel back there. I know who's back there. Amen. The glory of the Lord is my front and both. He's all around me and in me. Hallelujah. So if you were, whatever situation you're facing where worry's trying to come in, you need to focus on the word of the Lord. Amen. You need to focus. I'm going to cast all my care over on the Lord, because he does what? He cares for me. I think worry is probably one of the main things the enemy uses to steal faith from the church and to hinder the promises of God from coming in. Now, I don't have time to go into it today, but we will eventually. But if you read on in those verses right there, you'll see that he immediately goes into talking about resisting the devil. He has worry and resisting the devil in the next verse. Wow, isn't that something? That ought to tell something to us. It ought to say something to us. We better pay attention to what's going on in our minds. Amen? And you say, well, I'm so full of, I got so much worry in my mind. I know you just need to feed on the word and feed on the word and feed on the word and feed on the word. And when you're done with that, go ahead and feed on the word. Go ahead and feed on the word. People say, well, you know, I like to relax by watching my favorite TV show. You need to shut that thing off and feed on the word and feed on the word and feed on the word. Amen? See, I can't chew your potatoes for you. I mean, it could, but it'd be gross. You need to chew your own potatoes. Amen. Hallelujah. Feed on the word and feed on the word. And one day you'll wake up and go, that fear's gone. Why? Because you're just saturated in the resurrection anointing from here. Hallelujah. Amen. You're saturated in it. Well, I just like to listen to worship songs. I don't care if you listen to worship songs. Turn them down and feed on the word and feed on the word and feed on the word. Feed on this word. Amen. Read it and reread it and read it again. And I read it already. I know what that one says. You don't know it till you know it. Until it leaps off that page to you, until you can stand in the midst of what's going on and go, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it was a real blessing coming back from Tulsa. Well, during the services and stuff like that, Jesus is calling. Anyway, so it was a real blessing. But anyway, we're in the service and there was a gentleman from Brazil that was sharing. And it was just an awesome testimony that he was sharing. He had traveled. He had done some ministry stuff. He was sharing some different things that God was doing in, through his ministry. And this guy was a young guy, but he was a good preacher, man. He could really get it done. And he had just gotten finished up with a youth conference where he went with his brothers and his mom to this youth conference. As they got done with the youth conference and they were headed back to the airport. They got to the airport and they got on the airplane. I shared this morning at leadership, but it's just so funny to me. It just cracks me up. But talking about overcoming fear and overcoming worry, he got on the airplane and he said, "I have this supernatural gift. The moment I get on an airplane, I fall asleep." So he got on the airplane, and when he walked on the airplane, he said, "You're welcome." This is so funny to me. And his brothers go, "Why can't you just be quiet?" You know, he's the loud one in the brothers clan I gathered. And he's like, "What? Everywhere I go, angels go. They should be happy that I'm here on the airplane." Amen. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, everywhere you go, you could just say you're welcome. Angels are here now. I'm here. Somebody asked Billy Brim one time, "Oh, you go places alone?" She goes, "Oh, no, I never go alone." And she was standing there by herself. And they said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "I take angels everywhere I go." And she said, "When I get on an airplane, I put my hand on the wall of the airplane, or window or whatever where she sits, and she says, I say to it, 'Go to the other side.'" What did Jesus do? "Get in the boat, we're going to the..." Come on. So anyway, he gets, "You're welcome." And he goes, "I have this gift. I supernaturally fall asleep when I get on an airplane." There's nothing you could do anyway. You might as well go to sleep, you know, unless your neighbors talk to you the whole time, which I experienced. But anyway, so he got on the airplane and he fell asleep. And then somewhere in the flight, he woke up for whatever reason. And when he woke up, he said it was panic in that airplane. And he's looking around, and he said, "You know how when you first wake up, you see people's faces and you see them talking and you can see, but you're not hearing?" How many have ever experienced that before? It's like you're kind of still half in and out. And he's on this airplane, and he said, "All of a sudden my hearing kicked in. The engines were not running. And they're 30,000 feet in the air," whatever they are. I don't know. He didn't say. Don't worry, the story ends well. Just relax. Everybody just let the tension go, okay? You gotta... So people are going, "Oh," and he goes, "I looked at my brothers," and they're going, you know, like this. And he said, "All of a sudden I hear my mom. And my mom is in the seats next to me going, 'I am a child of God. I command these engines to start right now in the name of Jesus.'" And she said it once and nothing. And she gets, "I am a child of God." You know, she's saying this. All of a sudden she gets to the end of that statement. Boom, the engines kick on and that plane takes off. And they land just fine. You say, why do you bring that up? Because if you let fear lock your mouth, don't let fear lock your mouth. You stand up in the middle of it and say, "God is my Father. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I am a child of God." Amen? And so they land. He shares another testimony. You got to hear this one too. It's good. They're in another country. I think they're in Africa doing some meetings, youth tech meetings. And the pastor comes to him and says, "Brother, will you come pray for this child? They have a demon." He says, "Okay." So they go over there, you know, he's like, and they're ministering to this child, and this demon is not coming out. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, his mom comes walking up behind him, splits them all out, grabs a hold of that kid and said, "Devil, come out in Jesus' name." That devil left, just like that. So then the next day, the pastor comes to him and goes, "Brother, we got another kid with a demon." And he goes, "What are you feeding these kids around here?" You know? So he said, "I was walking over to the thing," and he's saying, "Lord, I just thank you that when we minister to this kid, this demon will be cast out. And Lord, if it doesn't, I'm bringing mama." You got to get him one way or another. Amen. Mama can do it. I'll tell you what. Amen. Corrie Ten Boom said this: "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." She said this: "Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden." Amen? She said, let God's promises shine on your problems. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. That's good, isn't it? And last but not least, worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts whirling around a center of fear. Worry is a cycle of inefficient thoughts, amen, whirling around a center of fear. We're going to learn how to live worry-free and then apply that. We're not just hearing good words. We're doing the words we hear. Because, see, the doer of the word gets blessed, not just the hearer only. There has to be adjustments made. Amen? Amen? And so we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about that. We're not going to finish it up today, but we'll get into that. Hey, Joy, you want to play the keyboard for me? That'd be great if you would. Thank you. I know I sprung it on you. Would you stand with me, please, this morning? I want to give an opportunity for people to be saved if you're not or if you've backslidden. And so, glory to God. Or if you need ministry for anything, we can pray for you when we're done. But I want to do this first and just give an altar call to those who have never been born again. Now, I want to say this. With just go ahead and close your head. Close your eyes and bow your head. Now open your head. Open your ears. Praise God. Just open your heart to the Lord right now. I feel like I should say this. Just because you're raised in church doesn't mean you're saved. Now we have that, you know, years ago I used to think, that's weird. Why would we say that? People don't think that way, but people do think that way. Because of religious teaching. There needs to be a moment in your life where you can go back and go, I wasn't just raised in church. I know when I made Jesus the Lord of my life. July 26, 1996, I made Jesus the Lord of my life. On July 26, 1996, I was in the altar at an Assembly of God youth camp, and I made Jesus my Lord. I accepted Him as my Savior and Lord. If you don't have that moment that you can mark, make this that moment right now. Or, and if you've never given your life to the Lord, that may be one. You were just raised in church. Or if you have given your life to the Lord in the past, but then you backslid. You've walked away from Him. And maybe you thought, I need to get back to the Lord, but I don't know what to do. Well, I can tell you this. If you come with open arms, He'll receive you with open arms. And so I want to do this. If every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's anybody here that fits either of those categories, you want to know so experience with the Lord. See, this is a big deal because heaven and hell weighs in the balance. And you don't know what tomorrow brings to you. He's not here today, but our bass player, John, his son, I sat with him in a restaurant 6 months before he died. And I helped him rededicate his life to the Lord. 6 months before he died. That's cutting it close. I don't want anybody to cut it close. So if you don't know that you know that you're born again, that Jesus is your Lord, and you want to know today, would you raise your hand, please? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You need to know. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. All right. Let's do this. For you that raised your hand and everybody else, we're going to pray a prayer. And this is what's going to happen. You're going to receive Jesus in your heart, and there's going to be the greatest miracle that could ever take place. Going to take place in your life right now. So go ahead and pray this after me. Everybody together. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that Jesus paid the price for my sins by His blood and His body, that He was hung on a cross for me, that He was beaten for me, that He was whipped for me, that He bore my sin, my wrongdoings. And I confess that I am a sinner and that I need a Savior. Jesus, you are my Savior. I believe you paid the full price for my sin, the full penalty, and I receive your righteousness, your holiness in place of my sin right now inside of me. I am a child of God. The Holy Spirit has made me new inside, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're born again. Hallelujah. Man, God is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I speak life over this church. Thank you, Lord, that Psalms 91 is ours. Though 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, it shall not come near our dwelling. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're continuing to perform your word. Father, that we are going to see increased harvest in this church from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share one more thing with you. You know, we took two airplanes down and two airplanes back. And so the Lord will talk to me while I'm, you know. He said, watch this. And he'll share things with me. And today during worship, you know, there's been many words over this church. Thank God for them, amen. Prophetic words help you fight. That's what Timothy says, right? And I was thinking, I was saying, Lord, so when does this happen? You know, because you timing is a deal too. Amen. And he showed me a picture from the flights that we took. So the you know, you have the flight attendant and they do their little spiel and what they do, but then the captain comes on. Right? Captain comes on. Captain says, well, welcome everybody to flight, whatever. You know, we're 5 minutes behind, 20 minutes ahead, whatever. Weather's such and such. You know, in our case, leaving Denver. It's going to be a little bumpy coming out of Denver. He didn't lie. Praise the Lord for Psalms 91. Amen. He protects us. And so he goes through his regular things. He says, now I'm going to go ahead and ask the flight attendants to take their seat and prepare to take off. And when I was in worship, the Lord brought that whole scenario back to me. In other words, it won't be long here until he says to the flight attendants, come on, the helps ministers, prepare for takeoff. Because you don't want to get in the air and not have your flight attendants in place. See, I know ministries that have done that because the leader's real charismatic or he's really passionate for the Lord, but he ends up doing everything. I'm not going to do everything. The call of God is not just on one person. It's on everybody. Now, your call may not be mine. That's fine. It doesn't need to be, but we need every person in their place and functioning in their grace, not only in the building, but outside the building. So I heard the Lord say, it's getting close. We're going to hear, prepare for takeoff. How many know when that plane starts to take off, you got your seatbelt on. How many have flown before? Okay. You got your seatbelt on and they start hitting them engines. What do? Boom. In that seat. Why? I don't know how much thrust or how fast we're going, but some of them big jets, holy smokes. You're talking about 200 and some people with all the luggage and the fuel in that thing, and that nose gets up in the air, and how many feel that feeling when they lift off the ground? Whoo, we're close. I can feel it in the spirit. We are close. Because, mark my words, because they're his words, they're not mine. He's the one that's doing it. It won't be long now. We're going to feel that. You're going to feel that rumble going down the runway, right? And whoo! All of a sudden, we're in the air, and now ministry is at 34,000 feet. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm ready for it. I'm excited about it. I'm not saying y'all have to fly, okay? People are like, I don't want to fly. Well, you should at least fly once or twice. I mean, don't let fear stop you. I mean, you'd be led by the Spirit, but you know what I mean. Amen? Praise God. God's good, amen. Did you get anything? Yeah? All right, we'll see you Wednesday night. We're going to talk about blood covenant. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.